but you're here this morning because of the grace of God. I'm thankful for that today. I want to do my very best to make sure that just because I'm safe, that I'm not at ease, and that I'm giving God all the glory He's worthy of. Amen. It's been our privilege to be here this last several nights, and we have enjoyed the opportunity to preach to those of you that have been here, and it's wonderful to have everybody here this Sunday morning. I should have done this earlier. Luke chapter 11 is where I'm going to be preaching from this morning. Just very familiar verses of Scripture. I enjoyed the teaching today. I'm glad to know that God's power transcends distance, that we don't have to be there, that we don't have to lay hands on the individual. We can just pray and know that God can move in that circumstance. When someone comes that doesn't have the relationship that you and I have, such as a centurion that had not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, but he has faith that all you have to do is say the word and everything's going to be fine at my house, there ought to be something in us that's looking for the word this morning that says, Lord, whatever you say, you just got to say it, and I'm going to latch on to that with faith and believe that you're going to move in my circumstance. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the building? Thank you for all that's been done, the wonderful meals that's been provided. We've got to spend some time with your pastor and his wife. They're just wonderful people. Getting to know them has been a pleasure this week, and we appreciate the opportunity that we have had. I desire your prayer this morning. I don't know. I feel like I'm catching the creeping crud, whatever's going around with my voice. And it's not real strong this morning. It hurt yesterday. It's not painful today. So I'm hoping that though it's not painful this morning, hopefully it's not painful on your ears. So just pray the Lord touches and helps me today. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, words that are written in red, we know this is Christ. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This is so simple, but yet verse 9 to me speaks volumes. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The reason this to me is so profound right at this very moment, we just got done singing about the fact that he has never failed us. Never failed. I won't forget, and you won't fail me yet. Never failed. Any time we have asked, we have received. When we have come earnestly seeking, we found. When there's been some knocking, there's been doors that's been opened. So I have to believe and also understand that if there is no asking, that's when there is no receiving. When there is no seeking, that explains why there is no finding. When all the doors are shut, it's because our hands are in our pockets instead of knocking. It's real simple this morning what the Lord has laid on my heart. But I want to talk about this subject for just a little while. The fact that when you ask, it's determined. You receive determined of what you ask for. That's not just what you ask for, that's how much you ask for. This morning, there is no doubt in my mind such a diversity of needs that are here. Some young men would ask for things that would be completely opposite than what some older men would ask. And some young couple may be completely different than some elderly couple, but whatever you ask, It's up to you as an individual this morning. Would you raise your hands this way and just for a moment ask God to touch us? Lord, we ask today as we come to you with thankful hearts that we're here in your presence and at this beautiful, beautiful church where we've got beautiful weather outside and you have blessed us with everything that we need to be happy. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would stir us up. Let revival atmosphere fill this room and let every heart, every soul begin to feel, search, and seek for more of you. I pray this morning, God, that you would maybe pry a few of the feathers out of the nest that has made us so very comfortable with status quo. Get us to a place that we are asking for more, God, because we realize how much we are in need of it. Move around these altars, God. I pray that you would speak through me this morning. Touch me, Lord, with your anointing, God, that not just touches my mind and my soul and my mouth, but God, touch me physically. We'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for all of these things that we ask for in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. May God richly bless you this morning. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you for just a little while today. And this is probably going to be in terms that they don't seem extremely spiritual right here at the very beginning. It's not something that you'll hear much unless you're in maybe a business meeting or something that has to do with maybe the finances of the church. But how many has ever heard this concept, supply and demand? I've heard this very much in business, and what I've come to understand in this is that when you talk about supply and demand, I've found that if there is no demand, it doesn't matter how good the supply is. You can be the very best and maybe even produce in your field the very best product on the market. If there is no demand for what you're producing, then you'll go out of business. Now, I don't want to oversimplify going out of business. There's a lot of reasons why people go out of business, so I don't want to oversimplify that. But one of the greatest reasons is that if you have a product that nobody wants, then it doesn't matter how good you are at making it, how great of a supplier you are. If there is no demand, then there will be no need for that great big supply. Now, I brought my phone with me, not on purpose. It just ended up being in my pocket. But you go back 30 years prior to this, and nobody carried these. It's all of a sudden something that is very much in demand. Now some of you are still old enough that you remember. How many remember when everybody had a phone in the wall? And if you wanted to talk to somebody, you called them at their house. And the concept of them being in their car was never something that you thought about. Matter of fact, some of us still remember using pay phones and carrying around a pocket full of quarters just in case you needed it. And man, when people first got beepers, you really was somebody and reachable because anywhere you were, somebody could beep you and you pull out those quarters, go find a pay phone. Unless you're Superman, nobody needs a pay phone anymore. It seems like everybody has their own reason. They've got a phone. My grandmother, she's 82 years old, and she still has about a 25-foot cord attached to her phone in the wall. She refuses. We bought her cordless phones, but she likes that phone. And she'll walk into her kitchen, and you've got to step over that cord because she's not going to quit talking to people, but she's got to cook and other things. And just that old school design. But you don't find many people with house phones anymore. It's not that people just ran out of money and couldn't afford them. It's that people's appetites have changed. Have you ever noticed how within a century or so, it seems that people's appetite, not always with food, but with entertainment or accessories, begins to change? How many's noticed how many Blockbusters are going out of business? And I know here we're here in London. I haven't even seen one. I haven't gone looking for one. I'm preaching at the First Pentecostal Church. It went out. Okay. Well, it went out of business. I have to assume it's not because they forgot how to make DVDs. It's not because they don't make movies anymore. And here I am again preaching at the Pentecostal church, and maybe I'll just throw this in on the side. I don't believe that it was the world that decided, you know what, we're tired of going to Blockbuster. We're not going to use them anymore. I believe that whenever Netflix and Redbox and other means and ways of getting movies came out, I don't believe it was the world that put Blockbuster out of business. I think it was the church. That's just me personally, because then your car wasn't seen down there. Nobody knew you was renting movies, and there was no questions. And if you went to a church that was completely taboo, then you didn't have to worry about that. But what I'm saying is this, is there's still DVDs being used. My wife, even let's go back beyond before CDs. My dad used to have a tape ministry. I believe that Southern Ohio, maybe the Ohio Valley at one time, was the largest producer and mass spreader of tapes and preaching, and man, the highway of holiness. Everybody was on their tape ministry. And my dad had 300 individuals that was on his tape ministry. And every month, man, I was licking envelopes and putting labels and same message, if I were the devil or more than a conqueror. Man, there's some things that's forever been burnt in my brain because I labeled those tapes and helped send them out so I could eat. And so anyway, I helped Dad with those things. Holly was just looking the other day, and somebody handed their little kid a tape and asked them if they knew how to use it. They put it up to their ear. They were looking for some way to interject a set of headphones into it, because tapes aren't used anymore. It's not that they don't work. It's just there is no demand. And so if there could be a great big supply of them, but if you've got a lot of tapes, not many people are using tapes anymore, so those tapes are no good to anybody. It's not that people ran out of money for tapes, it's just that their appetite had changed. They just had a change of desire. If there is a large supply and there is no demand, what happens is it devalues what was once valuable. Tapes were once a very precious commodity. There was times that we would spend a lot of time unwinding. Something get messed up, almost get ate up in your tape recorder. Man, you'd spend time, stick your pen down in that tape. You're trying to get it back. You want to make sure the quality of that tape is still okay. I know to some of you young people, I'm speaking completely foreign. But what I'm come to tell us this morning is that it has been devalued because there is no demand. There is no demand on tapes, it seems like. There is no demand on house phones. If there is a great big supply and there is no demand, then what happens is waste is created. Now, it's always been funny to me to think that a huge company such as Microsoft or Apple, or even somebody that has billions of dollars such as Walmart or McDonald's, it's funny to me that with all the money and capital gains that they have, that they are dependent and at the mercy of somebody that makes $8 or $9 an hour. And with all the millions of dollars they have, that if the people that make minimum wage don't buy their product, then they're just flat out of luck. They'll go out of business. It doesn't matter that they've got the most products. It doesn't matter that they make the quickest hamburger in town. It doesn't matter what they have. If you don't buy it, then it ain't any good. It's also funny to me this morning that the God that can do anything, that has created everything and does everything to perfection, he is someone that can do very little when there is an appetite that he is already satisfied. It's amazing to me, the God that could give you anything many times is at the mercy of our very meager appetites. God help me preach this morning. Here's what I've come to tell you. That's why I've come to understand that our God is not in the least bit concerned with equality. We live in a world that wants to make sure that you have the very same thing that he has, and nobody has a step up or an advantage. If you work harder, then we're going to take more of your money and give it to somebody that works less. Can I tell you that if everybody is given the same amount, it creates waste, and God hates waste. God's not into equality. Can I preach to you this morning? That's why it's very possible for there to be a church 15 minutes down the road that is overflowing, and then there's another church that's right next door that is empty, that is broken, that is absent of the Spirit of God. It's not because God doesn't desire to give to all men liberally. It's that God gives to those that are desiring it. Oh, hallelujah. If there is no hunger, if there is no appetite, what's amazing to me, I'll just be honest, I look around this room, and if I had a bunch of chickens and I wanted to distribute eggs, then I'd look around and I could make 6 egg omelets. Man, I love an omelet, and a 6 egg omelet is a big feast of a meal. But can I tell you this, that if I made 6 egg omelets for everybody in the room, there'd be a lot of waste in the room. Because though I know what to do with a 6 egg omelet, and that brother back there, he knows what to do with a 6 egg omelet. And some of you other brothers, you know what to do. There'd be other people that, well, I don't like eggs, or I'm watching my cholesterol, or, you know, I don't eat that much. There would be some people that they'd never eat a 6 egg omelet. My son would never eat all of that. There would be waste. Can I declare to you that God knows your appetite? God knows your hunger. God knows your desire this morning, and he works it off of an individual basis. If you want more from God, all you've got to do is ask him. All you've got to do is ask him. He is no respecter of persons. He is someone that gives liberally to all, but God is not fair. Get over it. You might as well get that out of your mind. If somebody else gets it, then I should get it too. No, that's not the way he works. And you better be thankful this morning that God is not fair. His favor is not fair. How do you know? If you read the story of Ruth, you'll find there was a lot of people that was gleaning in that same field. But God looked down and saw Ruth and her desire, and handfuls were dropped on purpose for her. If God was someone that his favor was fair, I'm sure there's been plenty of prodigals that have never made it back home. But for those that have a desire and come to the epiphany that it's better in Father's house, some of you are going to be able to raise your hand and say, thank God that he wasn't fair with me, but he was merciful. His grace was extended. I've been given more than what I'm deserving of. I've been offered much more than what I could ever gain in merit or value. Thank God he gives to me liberally according to my desire and my hunger. If you don't believe this to be true, look with me in Matthew chapter 25. I'm going somewhere this morning. Just stay with me. Matthew chapter 25. There is a parable in verse 14. Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a man that's traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now this is a good feeling. Everybody likes when God is divvying out presents. Everybody wants to be present when he is giving presents. But verse 15 says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. I don't know about you, but that right there sounds like the very beginning of a church split. Did you see what so-and-so got? This is all I've got. They got 5. I got 1. Bible says that he gave it to them according to their several abilities. Can I say this morning very humbly and respectfully? You've got what you can handle. God, why is it that other people seem to always be blessed and shouting on top of the mountain and feeling good? Well, maybe they've made more room in their life for the blessings of the Lord. You read this story, and what comes to mind automatically is that the master knew his servants better than the servants knew themselves. Because what happens with the individual that got 5 talents, he went out and produced 5 talents more. The same with the individual that got 2. But all the master knew the one that needed 1 talent better than anybody, because he gave him 1, and that dude went out and just buried it in the dirt. How many churches have been given something? They've been given
given an opportunity. Here's what I've come to let somebody know is we may not have what the brother down the road has or the sister up the street, but can I declare to you, God's not left us without anything. And if you want more, you got to do something with what you've got. Not everybody is going to be judged in an equal manner, because not everybody is going to receive the same thing. What I've come to tell you this morning is that not all are expected to produce the same results, but all are to be faithful with what has been entrusted unto them. I don't know about anybody else, but before I even get to the end of this message, there's something in me that says, God, I want more than what I've been receiving. I'm hungrier than what I've been asking for. And God, I'm sorry that my hands have been shifting in my pockets, God. I'm sorry that I've not been asking. I'm sorry that I've not been seeking. God, help me to understand that there is a supply that will always meet my demands. Whatever I ask in prayer, believing, I can receive it, because God gives to those that are hungry. You can't trick God this morning. You can't fool God. There's nothing in you that's going to trick him into giving you more than what you can handle. There's so many churches across the country. God, we really want a lot, but we want it before 12 o'clock. Lord, we want a revival that breaks out, heals everybody in the room, and makes sure that nobody's sick when they leave. But can you do it by 12:15? I've got plans. God, I need this and I need that. And there's always a condition. There's always something else that is important. Can I come to tell you this morning that God wants to give to us more than we desire to receive? But there is nothing in you that God is just going to give something that he has wasted on a life that will take it for granted. I've used many different examples this week already. My dad's an electrician. There's something else we do in Columbus a lot. Dad goes around replacing panels. We'll go to old houses that got those old push-o-matic breakers. Some of them still have fuses, believe it or not. How many remember fuses? Go ahead and show you eight. Well, what was the biggest problem with fuses? Well, when you blew one, you couldn't flip it back on. You had to replace it. And what a lot of people, before they understood the danger of it, figured out is you could trick that fuse. Somebody go ahead and tell me. I know there's people in here that know how to do it. Put a copper penny back behind that fuse. And it would just trick that fuse from thinking that it's overloaded, and it may get hot, but it wouldn't trip, wouldn't blow. Do you know how many houses burnt to the ground because they had 8 cents in the panel box? Because they're trying to trick the fuse. I wish somebody would hear me. You can't trick God. You can throw the copper penny in there, but God's not going to give you more than what you can handle. God's not going to let you burn down to the ground just because you're faking a capacity that you don't have. Man, I don't know about anybody else. I don't want to come to church and God's blessing me all around me, and I'm always drinking from my saucer because my cup has run over, because I've got a cup that's that big. God, help me to bring a bigger cup. God, help me to grow my capacity. God, help me to have a greater desire that says, Lord, if you've got blessings, if you've got power, if you've got revival, it won't be wasted on me, because I've made myself ready. I've prepared myself. I know everybody's tried to make Jabez's prayer some charismatic prayer, but I've come to tell you this morning that it was an earnest, holy desire that said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. Give me a bigger place to put your blessing. Man, I don't know about anybody else. I've got a great capacity for a lot of things in this life, but I want a greater capacity for the things of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, he knows your capacity. That's why he gave you the opportunity this morning to get what you want according to your desire. When you read about them wandering out in the wilderness in Exodus chapter 16, you'll find that when manna came, it wasn't just a certain amount for every house, but every man gathered according to his eating. Hungry folks say, amen. I'm glad it wasn't just those puny eaters. God said, well, it was enough for them. But whatever you desired, and you see, this is better this morning, the way you could realize, because the revival that you can experience is not codependent upon anybody else in this room. You can have as much God as you want. Nobody else is hungry. You can get full this morning because God gives according to your desire. If you're hungry, God will fill you up. Can I declare again? I've already said it earlier this week, but everybody likes to hear good, anointed preaching. I know that your pastor, no doubt in my mind, comes and gives you the meat of the word. And every Sunday you can show up with expectation that you're going to be challenged, you're going to be affected, and it's going to be powerful. But can I declare to you, you want your pastor to preach to you like he's never preached to you before, and growing notches and levels of the anointing like you've never tasted. You say, I just want more. If you come more with that desire and you're on the edge of your pew, and if it's been 15 minutes and he feels like you're done, and somebody says, you know what, I need more, pastor, give me a little bit more, it will incite him, it will encourage him to dig deeper into the word and declare there's more than what we've been receiving. Your hunger regulates the flow of the anointing in the church. Your hunger, your desire, if you want to see more healings, then you've got to make it known to him that heals. If you ask, you shall receive. If there is a demand that is put on God, I've come to let somebody know, it doesn't matter the disease, it doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. It doesn't matter if it's family trial. It doesn't matter if it's church problems. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You will never exhaust the supply when you come to God with great big demands. This is what leads me to know him in an individual way and creates an individual relationship with God, because it's based off of my personal demands. That's why he can reassure you personally that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common unto man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. How many knows what the temptation is? It is the demand. He will with the temptation also make a way to escape. It's a supply that ye may be able to bear it. The problem is too many times we come to church and life is putting demands on us. The roles have been reversed. And you and I should be putting demands on life. We're just trying to exist. We're just trying to come up to snuff. Just trying to meet par. But I've come to tell somebody this morning, God's got more for a church than just existence, just survival. God wants to give us revival, but we've got to be hungry for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why I've come to understand that there's no exhausted supplies in heaven, but you've got to be hungry to receive something from God. And I'm not going to preach much longer, but this is what I really want to ask us. What is it in life that takes away your hunger? What has brought us to the place where a meager amount is enough? Now, sometimes sickness dissipates hunger. I'm going to just be honest. My wife, first thing, if she feels anything, sick, feverish, cold, sore throat, upset, anything, she didn't want to eat. I can probably count on my hand the times I've been too sick to eat. Because in spite of how I feel, I'll pause for the cause. Go back to eating. Here's what I find is that when you and I have these different hungers, these different desires,
There's sometimes I've been sick enough that, man, just the smell of food. I didn't want to be anywhere around it. There's been sometimes I've been in so much pain. Food was the last thing on my mind. There have been sometimes that I've been so preoccupied. Anybody ever been just so busy you forgot to eat? Do you not think the devil knows what it is that takes your hunger? Do you not know that the devil studies every one of us? And if it's pain that keeps you from eating at the master's table, here's what you've got to come to understand, is there's never a time that you come in this place that the table's not spread. Somebody say amen. There's never a time that you enter into this room that God's not available to give you exactly what it is that you're in need of. But if pain is what it is that takes your appetite, the devil will make sure that there's plenty of pain in your life. If it is depression or if it is preoccupation, whatever it may be, it will be something that keeps you from realizing that what I need more than anything is some good sustenance from the Lord. I've come to let you know this morning that of all the things that is important in your Christian life, one of the greatest things that you could ever do to sustain your life is stay hungry. God help me to stay hungry when I'm sad, to stay hungry when I'm preoccupied. God help me to stay hungry when pain is entered in to my life. Matthew 5 and 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I've come to tell you this morning that it doesn't matter how big our diversities separate us. I believe that God's got an answer for every individual in this room. If you're somebody that feels overwhelmed, there is no demand that you could put on God that He looks at and says, oh, I can't meet that. I can't do that. I can't find a way to do it. No, I've come to tell you, you ask God and you shall receive. You seek Him and you will find. You say, preacher, it's not that I'm distressed, but my soul is just crying out for more of God. Well, God's got something for you too. It doesn't matter what place you find yourself in life. God wants to feed those that are hungry in His house. Hallelujah. I find finally, when the demands in life got great, God brought an ultimate supply to a place called Calvary. When demands got large enough that no man could ever meet them, God sent an inexhaustible supply to Calvary. And then again, in a place called the upper room, He's got whatever you need. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then He let us know that I give power unto you to tread upon serpents and scorpions. And my favorite part is, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Anybody hungry for some of that? It doesn't matter the atmosphere that's around me. I am safe in His arms because my appetite has given me something that keeps me powerful in places where others are weak. Here's what I want to give us an altar call this morning, because I really feel that in this place there are two different types of people. Sister Jarvis, would you help us this morning? I feel really, really sincere that there are two different types of people in this room. I feel that there are those, let me describe it to you this way. I preached several camps this year. Very first one I went to, I haven't forgot it yet. Man, they always fed us so good. We were in Georgia, and man, they threw down. They just wanted people to know we can cook in the South. So, man, when you went through the line, you got a plate, just filled you up. I mean, and they wanted it to be known that we want everybody to get full. And so if everybody goes through the line, you can come back for seconds. We want everybody to get as much as they want. Here's the only thing they required. If you come back through the line, save your plate. So I'm just being honest. There wasn't a day that I went through the line that they didn't give me enough food that was sufficient for any human being. But some days what tasted so good the first time made me want it the second time. So I'd walk back in there with my plate. And I'd say, I saved my plate. Can I have some more?
There's some of you that have been in revivals. God's move that has been so powerful and anointed, just glorious. Sometimes we wonder, is it even right to ask for more? Why don't you just bring back in your save plate? Anybody still got their plate this morning? I remember when he saved me, but man, I've still got my plate. I'll never forget the night I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But man, I didn't throw away my plate. I could still use some more. But then there's a second class of people, and this is the one that most of the time, we don't even like to admit this. We all want to be a part of that, well, we save the plate group. But then there's some of us today, if we'd be real honest, life has put more upon us than what we're able to bear. We're at a place where we can't seem to go another step further, and we're so down, and we're so winded, and we're so weak, so tired, so weary. We have forgotten this little jewel that was put in Luke chapter 11. All I got to do to get out of this is ask. All I got to do is seek Him. He's found of us. All I've got to do is knock on the door. He's going to open up. God, I can't go any further the way I'm going. And I need you. I need a supply that overwhelms what's been overwhelming me. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You stand with me all over this building. We get ready to pray on this Sunday morning. God, I love you. Lord, your word is so much better than anyone could ever preach it. Lord, especially me. God, it's so much more powerful. It's inexhaustible. God, there is no need that's too great. There is no generation that is too far gone. There is no individual that has too much for you to do. God, I pray this morning that you would move upon both of these altar calls I'm about to give. God, for those that have saved their plate, they're still hungry this morning. They want revival even though they've been in 3 nights of it already. God, I pray that you'd just give them a double portion. Let your Holy Ghost power begin to sweep this place. God, that thankfulness that we felt earlier this morning as we were reminded that you had always been faithful. I pray, God, that same thankfulness would come in again. Lord, as we begin to lift up your name and praise you, God, we ask that you would come down and inhabit those praises in double portions. God, for those this morning that's tired and weak and weary, God, those that just have come to the understanding that they're empty and bare, and they have nothing left to offer. God, I pray that this morning that with their last breath they would ask. They would seek. Lord, they would knock. Lord, I pray that this morning, whatever they're going through, whatever the problem, whatever the hindrance, whatever the trial, God, though they be in the midst of travail, I pray right now, Lord, that when we call unto you, you will hear us and answer our prayers. Move upon this church congregation. God, I pray that London would be overwhelmed and changed and never left the same because of the expectation of a church that received more of God because they were asking and looking for you to come meet us. God, do it around these altars. I pray that you'd save, heal, deliver, satisfy, meet every need I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.